Welcome to the Covenant of Peace radio broadcast, the teaching ministry of Pastor Blair Bradley. This program is dedicated to bringing you the glorious truth of God's Word, one verse at a time.
A mighty fortress is our God.
We are living in powerful days, and we are seeing tremendous changes in our lives, our culture, our nation, and in the church. So now more than ever, we have a great need to exercise spiritual discernment and to know what the Bible teaches about the important issues that we all face today. So let's join Pastor Blair as he continues our study on the Word of God.
Welcome again, my beloved in Jesus Christ. We're continuing our verse-by-verse journey through the Epistle of Jude, and today I want to continue to examine what Jude taught about the profile of the heretics. So let's read verses 5 through 7 of Jude again together. Now I desire to remind you, though you know all things once for all, that the Lord, after saving a people out of the land of Egypt, subsequently destroyed those who did not believe, and angels who did not keep their own domain, but abandoned their proper abode. He is kept in eternal bonds under darkness for the judgment of the great day. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, since they, in the same way as these, indulged in gross immorality and went after strange flesh, are exhibited as an example in undergoing the punishment of eternal fire. Now, in the previous broadcast, we saw how that Jude describes these certain persons who crept into the church to deceive and destroy the sheep with three Old Testament groups: apostate Israel, apostate angels, and the perverted people of Sodom and Gomorrah. Today we come to verse 8, and I want to look at that verse together. Jude verse 8 says, "Yet in the same way these men, also by dreaming, defile the flesh, reject authority, and revile angelic majesties." Now, by Jude using the phrase, "yet in the same way" here, he was linking the heretics to those three Old Testament groups. And we also saw last time that Jude describes the heretics as being men who defile the flesh, reject authority, and revile angelic majesties, and that they do all this wickedness by dreaming. And as we've already discussed, how that these people use their dreams to determine their doctrine, all to their own condemnation and the condemnation of those who hear and follow them. Now I want to look at how Jude continues to give us a detailed profile of the heretics by giving three more descriptive terms. In the second half of verse 8, Jude says that these heretics defile the flesh, reject authority, and revile angelic majesties. These people attack the church with false doctrine and false teaching and go after the souls of men. They hunt down weak and shallow people to deceive them. They use partial truth, partial understanding, faulty reasoning, inaccurate interpretations to do what the Bible says: deceive the hearts of the simple. Now, over the years, there has been some very interesting characteristics about the heretics that are alike. So even though they live in different times and in different cultures and even in different nations and continents, they have certain characteristics that are the same. And one of the common characteristics that Jude talks about here in verse 8 is that the same among all of them is that heretics defile the flesh. Now, this term has a sexual component to it and indicates that those who preach and teach false doctrine are also very loose morally and also very easy to prey upon unsuspecting followers in a perverted and sexual manner. History is filled with testimonies of adultery, fornication, sexual immorality, and sexual sins abounding among the ancient heretics. And this same immorality describes the modern heretics of our day. Because their doctrines are, in fact, doctrines of demons, these apostates give themselves over to lasciviousness and all manner of perversion, including homosexuality and the horrible abuse of children. It is historically accurate to say that where you see great displays of rampant sexual immorality among religious people, you can rest assured that their doctrine is off base. The Holy Spirit inspired you to say here that false doctrine promoted and taught by false teachers is linked with sexual immorality. this nation recently witnessed one of the most horrible displays of sexual immorality in the history of the world that was brought to light recently among Roman Catholic priests who were homosexuals who abused thousands of little boys over several decades. This display of sexual immorality and of defiling the flesh was not an isolated event, but was widespread and was ongoing, and was brought forth in part by the unscriptural and ungodly teachings of that religious organization that are in direct violation to the biblical requirements for leadership. Jude then said that these heretics reject authority. This term comes from two different Greek words, athetio, which refers to destroying or tearing down an existing authority, and the word kuriates, which means Lord, with a little L. So Jude is telling us that heretics and false teachers are a law unto themselves. They are self-appointed and are accountable to no one, doing what is right in their own eyes and justifying it by their supposed spirituality. And if anything typifies the modern church, it is this issue. We have an epidemic today of self-appointed, self-proclaimed, unaccountable, so-called prophets and teachers who answer to no one, who are accountable to no one, going around from church to church, throwing out false prophecies and so-called words of wisdom and knowledge like they were candy at a parade. These troublemakers come into a church to, quote, straighten out the church, unquote, or to try to get the pastor to, quote, let God move in his church, unquote. Then after sowing seeds of turmoil and strife and confusion that destroy the church, they move on to the next city and their next victims. Beloved, God does not move like that. And scores of weak and ill-prepared pastors naively give these people their pulpits and sit and watch these heretics come in and destroy their church. Beloved, God does not anoint you to teach anyone anything unless you yourself are being taught by someone else. God does not call you to teach unless you are learning. You do not have God's blessing to get up and proclaim anything unless and until you understand what it is to sit down and listen. God does not call you to lead unless you are willing to humble yourself and follow. God does not fill one mouth until he fills both of your ears. God does not give you a word to teach unless you know what it is to live under and walk in the truth. Dear friends, ministry is not about people getting up and speaking words because they're catchy or clever or cool or because they just read them 5 minutes ago. True ministry, genuine ministry, is about God calling a man to minister who can be humbled and humiliated and tried and seasoned and proven and tested and who goes through the fires of discouragement and disappointments and troubles. One who lives the life at home before his own wife and children, who puts into practice what he desires to teach in public. If you don't have the time or the inclination or the courage or the ability or the need to let God develop you over his time, through his methods, and on his schedule, then sit down and be quiet. God is not speaking anything of value through your mouth. One of the hallmarks of the Protestant Reformation was the concept that the hierarchical priesthood as fabricated by the Roman Church was a sham, and that the Bible taught that every saved person was a priest unto God. And that concept is just as right as rain. But what is not right is the way we have taken that precious biblical truth that every man is a priest unto God and used it to justify an ill-prepared, self-appointed, unaccountable ministry that thinks that they have a license to do and say and teach and believe and proclaim whatever the dog drags in through the front door. That is not what the Reformers taught. That is not being faithful to the biblical concept of every man being a priest unto God. The Protestant Reformation rediscovered a glorious liberty that the Bible proclaims that we have in Jesus Christ. But that liberty is only as good as our responsible accountability. We have an obligation and a requirement and a solemn duty to make sure that what we teach and what we preach is biblical and not just popular. That what when we think or suppose or imagine that God is leading us, are speaking to us, are directing us, we are to seek counsel with other godly people, and we are to verify that word with Scripture, and we are to make doubly sure that we are right, that our motives are right, that our thrust is right, before we would dare sign God's name to what we are saying or what we are doing. To throw around statements like God told me, or God showed me so flippantly, is a reproach to the cause of Jesus Christ in the gospel. God has already spoken so much, and we have those words recorded in Holy Scripture, that it would be hard to imagine what else he had to say pertaining to either life or godliness. The Bible says that everything that we need for life and godliness is already in the Scripture. So true ministry, godly ministry, God-anointed and God-sent ministry will spend time teaching what God has said, what the Scriptures teach, what the Holy Spirit inspired holy men to pin down, and not the latest and greatest revelation from someone who is unaccountable and who rejects authority. We are free in Christ. Thank God that is true, but that freedom is not a license to do whatever we please, and then say that we have done that because of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God illuminates the Word to us. The Spirit empowers us to obey and live what the Word says. The Spirit enables us to do God's will on the earth, and the Spirit gives us unbelievable and incredible freedom and liberty so that we may be found faithful to Scripture. But the Spirit never condones sin. The Spirit will never tell me to do anything that is contrary to God's Word. And the Spirit will never lead anybody into something that is not true. And the glorious liberty of the Spirit that allows us to flow in God's goodness and mercy and love is not a license to do whatever we desire to do, or to interpret the Bible any way that suits our fancy, or to say whatever we think needs to be said and then sign God's name to it. Jude says that heretics rebel against authority. Jude said that the bad guys do not submit themselves to God-ordained authority within the Church of Jesus Christ. And they run off, and they do what is right in their own eyes. Jude says that apostates reject authority. So please, let us not be guilty of doing what the heretics do. The third profile of the heretics that Jude talks about in verse 8 is that these ungodly people who bring in damnable heresies into the church will revile angelic majesties. This term is used in two ways. First of all, the self-ruled heretics do not want anyone to have authority over them, and they will speak against anybody who tries. These ungodly people will never submit themselves to any rule of order or conduct. But another way that we must see this verse is in an even more serious wickedness than heretics not wanting to submit to godly authority. And in order to get a better view of this, I want to combine the last part of verse 8 with verse 9. They revile angelic majesties. But Michael the archangel, when he disputed with the devil and argued about the body of Moses, did not dare pronounce against him a railing judgment, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." Now, Jude is saying that the heretics actually speak evil of celestial beings. They rail out against angels, whether they are fallen angels or not. And then Jude goes right into a real-life example in verse 9 of what happened when Michael the archangel and the devil in their dispute over the body of Moses. Now, this particular portion of Jude is going to get into very serious and important aspects. And I want to treat this part fairly, and I'm not able to do so on this broadcast because I'm out of time. So please join me again on the next broadcast as we continue our journey through the Epistle of Jude. May God help us all.
Dear friends, if this radio broadcast of line upon line, precept upon precept teaching of God's holy word is a blessing to you, will you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? We want to increase our exposure here on the Gulf Coast through more radio stations and through the Internet. Would you pray about coming alongside of us and help us do that to God's glory? For further information about how you can partner with us in seeing the gospel triumph in our area, or to receive a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website, www.covenantofpeace.net. Until next time, may the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.